Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank the organizer for inviting me. And today I will present a small result related to the big problem of anomalous diffusion for translational invariant system in dimension 2. The dimension 2 is a critical case, and it's also a special case for two reasons. One, because it's a case, it's in between a super diffusive behavior and the normal one. And the second is that we expected that for a large class of system, we have the same law of divergence for the thermal conductivity, which is the logarithmic divergence. So my starting point is this energy transport equation in dimension D. Here, the W is a vector that is measured on Rd times Td, where T is the d-dimensional torus. V is a function that we call velocity, and which is bounded. And R is a scattering rate, and it's a function not negative with other properties that I will say later. This equation was obtained by Stefan Olla, Herbert Spohn, and myself, starting with a microscopic model of a harmonic oscillator perturbed by the stochastic noise, which preserves energy and momentum. By performing the kinetic limit, we obtained this equation in dimension D. Just a remark, in dimension 1, it is slightly different because we have no mixing among these components. So we have a component 1 and 1 here, and so we don't have this sum and the prefactor in front of it. Which is the meaning of this equation? This equation described the energy transport, the evolution of the energy density of the normal mode of the system, or phonons. We take this word from quantum mechanics, but it can be used also in this context. So the intuitive picture is the following. We have a phonon with a wave number k which travels with velocity v k, and it is scattered with the rate rkk prime. Despite from the particular form of the explicit form of the kernel scattering and the velocity v, we want just to I would like to say which are the crucial feature of these two quantities. So the kernel R is not negative; it's symmetric in the exchange kk prime, and it behaves like the k square when k is small, and the velocity v is anti-symmetric, and it is bounded; it's finite for small k. And in particular, this condition comes from the conservation of the momentum. So the feature is the following. We have the phonons with a small wave number k that travel with a finite velocity but are scattered with a small rate. Then the mean free path of this kind of phonons have a macroscopic length. And this is what usually is referred as ballistic transport. And we know that ballistic transport is connected with the anomalous spreading of energy, at least in dimension 1 and 2. This is even more clear if we look at the probabilistic interpretation of this Boltzmann equation. We are quite lucky because this kinetic equation can be interpreted like the forward equation for the evolution density of a Markov process KIY, where KT, IT is a reversible jump process. Just a remark, we can interpret KT like the mode of the like the wave number of the phonon. IP like is a polarization, and Y like is position. So KT IP is a reversible job process, which is the following. We have this process that waits in the state IK a time tau, which is an exponential distributed with mean given by the inverse of the integral of the kernel R. And the crucial feature is that this mean goes like the inverse of k square when the when k is small. That means that the system waits a long time in a state in which k is really small. And then the process jumps to another state j dk prime with a probability which is essentially small when the state of arrive is a state with small k. So the process essentially go really in a state with k small, but when it arrives there, it waits a lot of it waits a lot of time before moving away. YT is the position of the phonon, and it can be it is an Abelian functional of k, and it can be expressed like the position of time zero plus the time integral of the velocity, which is a function of k. At this point, one can ask which are the possible scaling limits that we can one may expect. It's quite obvious to think that when the system has a normal diffusion, and that means when the system essentially has a finite thermal conductivity, the process at time of order n rescaled by a factor square root of n converge to a Brownian motion. And this is essentially what Stefano Olla said this morning when he said that the finite thermal conductivity is essentially a central limit theorem. In this statement, essentially is a okay, an invariant principle, which is a central limit theorem for the process at different times. This is not true essentially when for system in which we have an anomalous diffusion. Essentially, since for this particular system, the thermal conductivity was computed explicitly, both starting from the microscopic model and also from the kinetic equation, we can expect that in one and two dimension we have an anomalous diffusion. That means essentially that we don't have the prefactor 1 over square root of n, but something which is larger, and that the limit process we don't know what can be. So coming back to our problem, if we consider the three-dimensional case, we have a normal diffusion. This was not explicitly proven until now, but it's an accepted conjecture because for this system we already computed the thermal conductivity, and so this is what has to happen. The equal one-dimensional cases what's called essentially the super diffusion, in the sense that the process rescaled by a factor 1 over n to third converges to a Levy process, which is stable with the index 3 half. It was proved by Milton Jara, Komorowski, and Stefano Olla, and independently by Anton Bovier and myself. And that means that essentially the trajectory of the phonon is not continuous. We have a trajectory of phonons with Cadillac path. That means that we have macroscopic jump that exists in this scaling. So what about the two-dimensional model? The two-dimensional model essentially is a case in between the two. To have an idea of what's happened in the equal two, we consider the sequence of states visited by KT. And this is an ergodic Markov chain in the space T2, which has stationary measure P that is given by the integral of the scattering kernel. So we look at the value of the position y of the phonon at the time of the nth jump. And this is given by the sum of this random variable, tau xi vu xi, where tau is the exponential random variable of the jump, given by the jump process, and vu is the velocity. The important feature is that if we look at the distribution of this variable with respect to the invariant measure, it's not really heavy tail distribution, but it's a long tail distribution, let's say in this way. This is correlated with the two things. The first is that each of these variables has infinite variance, and these variables are in domain of attraction of the normal law. So, in particular, I want to remark that the infinite variance that appear here is essentially the infinite, it's strictly correlated with the infinite thermal conductivity. In the sense that if we look at the explicit formula of the thermal conductivity that we had for this model, this is given exactly by the variance of this variable with respect to the invariant condition. So this suggests the following theorem, which is proved by Bouvier and myself, which says that essentially we have a diffusion under anomalous scaling in two dimensions. That means that if we consider the position of the phonon at time of order n, we scale it by a prefactor which is larger than n, because contain this log n, it converts it to a two-dimensional Brownian motion, with this scale c. And as a consequence of this, the rescaled solution of the Boltzmann equation converted to a solutional diffusion equation. The method of the proof can be applied also in the three-dimensional case. And in the three-dimensional case, we have the normal diffusion. So at this point, one could ask, which is the difference between the two and three-dimensional cases? It's only a scaling time, in the sense we have diffusion in both cases, so the trajectory of the phonon is continuous, so it's just a problem of scaling. I think that the difference is a little bit deeper. In this, I will tell you after the main ideas of the proof, because here is the main ingredient. How can we prove this theorem? We split the sum of this variable in two parts. One is the sum of a truncated variable. Truncated is because we consider the variable only up a value square root of n, and so we have that the expectation, the variance of this variable has a logarithmic divergence. Then if we consider the sum rescaled by the factor which contains the logarithmic term, this is a quantity with finite variance. On the other hand, the sum of the streamal part is a quantity with infinite variance, but which is finite in the modulus of the expectation value, because each of these variables behaves like 1 over square root of n. And so with the extra factor log n, this quantity goes to zero in probability. Then, to prove that the the central part converge to a Brownian motion, one can use different techniques. There are many theorems that one can use. In particular, we have used the invariance principle for martingale different array with bounded variable, which is essentially an idea of Friedman that was improved by Durrett and Resnick. And this is how do we prove the theorem. But I want to remark the fact that we still have an extremal part that doesn't appear in this scaling, but is a quantity which has infinite variance. And so this is the point. What happened at the higher order scaling in n equal to 2? Then, as I already told, this contribution of the extremal part is a sum of a variable with the infinite variance. It is true that in the scale n log n, this quantity is equal to 0. But if we consider another scaling, the classical one over n square root of n, this sum, the extremal sum, converges to a compound Poisson process, which is a Levy process, in which the only point of changement are given by the jumps. That means that if we consider the original process and we subtract the central part, which converge to a Brownian motion, we have a sort of fluctuation that still are given by a jump process. So again, also in the two-dimensional case, the trajectory of the phonon is characterized by the presence of this big jump, which survives at time order n log n. So this gives, in some sense, a characterization of the trajectory of the phonon for the system with anomalous diffusion. Anomalous diffusion can be viewed from a probabilistic point of view as a presence of a scaling in which the trajectory of the phonon of its fluctuation has Cadillac path. This is not completely true in the three-dimensional case, in which we have the real normal diffusion, and which doesn't exist any scaling in which the trajectory of the phonon is discontinuous. Of course, we were quite lucky for this model, because it's quite easy to find a probabilistic interpretation starting from the Boltzmann equation. So the next step that I don't know how is possible to do, but it is nice to be checked, is what happened when we start from a real deterministic model. So the real deterministic model, the kinetic limit starting from a real deterministic model was done by Aoki, Lucarin, and Spohn for the FPU model in dimension 1, and by Lucarin and Spohn. And I tried to look at the Boltzmann equation, but I was not able to find a probabilistic interpretation of this equation in terms of a Markov process of something else. It is possible that a probabilistic interpretation is done, it can be done, but it is not in terms of a Markov process. It's something not Markovian, and something that maybe has to be checked. The other point is regard the two-dimensional model. The kinetic limit starting from deterministic Hamiltonian model was done only in dimension d equal to 1. At a certain point, me or someone else has to do the limit for the two-dimensional case. Also, because if someone wants really to check if it is true that the two-dimensional case in some sense universal, probably the best way to see is check the kinetic limit for different anharmonicity in dimension d equal to 2. And look if essentially this gives the right thermal conductivity, the right law of divergence of the thermal conductivity. And maybe if there is this general behavior, it is possible that for the two-dimensional system, this probabilistic interpretation can be even be easier and can be more similar to what we had for our model. The last connection is with the microscopic model, which is behind this model that I have considered. Stefano this morning told about the fluctuation in the case in which we have normal diffusion. So, which are the equilibrium fluctuation for harmonic oscillator with conservative noise that preserve energy and momentum in dimension d equals 2? This result says that essentially this fluctuation has to be the normal one, the Gaussian fluctuation with the Laplacian, which is the leading term given by the Laplacian, but we expect a time scale of which is slightly different of the usual one. So a time scale of order n square log n at minus 1. And that means that essentially the fluctuation are again the solution of the heat equation, so are Gaussian under this time scale, but in this case the diffusion coefficient is not given but by the green cubo formula. It's not proportional to the green cubo formula, which in this case is divergent, but it's something connected with the coefficients that appear in this scaling in the kinetic limit. And that's all.
Formula is not given by
formula,
so
the
expression
for the for which
variance.
In this case the variance is the variance given by essentially is the variance of the trajectory of the formula. So I have the sum of a random variable, and I look at this at the variance of this random variable starting from the environment.
So we say a variance comes from pair correlation, so you just just from one on this.
No. The trick is that when you start from when you look at this probabilistic model and you look at the trajectory of the phonon, you don't need about a two-point correlation. You just look at the process which is given by the trajectory of the phonon at a certain time t, and you look at which is the variance at that time t. And this, if you want to compute explicitly, this is exactly the thermal conductivity of the system. Is given by the green cubo formula. It's something that it can be viewed as casual, but it is not. The thermal conductivity is the essentially of the system can be seen as the variance of the trajectory of the phonon in this picture.